things anymore. It's all about what are we for then? We're consumers.
Immediately, terminate.
The man who thinks must think and act on his own.
Again, for another episode of The Middle Chamber with me, your hyperdimensional host for the duration, Freighter X. Okay. One, our first guest tonight is the Mad Hatter of Hilarity and the Truth Movement, Vinny Eastwood. He'll be joining us from The Vinny Eastwood Show over at VinnyEastwoodShow.com for both hours.
The VinnyEastwoodShow.com.
There he is, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Sorry, Vinny. Open lines for the second hour as well, and we will welcome Monsignor Eastwood momentarily, if he would hold so kindly. But first, I would like to thank our intergalactic house band Systemic, as usual, for a rockin' intro. And many thanks to webmaster extraordinaire HTML Sam for all his efforts to keep the site updated, which, by the way, is located at MiddleChamberFX.com. It's not the MiddleChamberFX.com. It is, in fact, MiddleChamberFX.com. As always, among the features on the site, you will find the chat room embedded there, which can also be found at MiddleChamber.chatango.com. Join MaterX and all the other followers of this weekly broadcast there. Vinny has a chat room as well over at his website, which is, of course, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. All right. Now, to the left of the chat room on our site, MiddleChamberFX.com, there is some links. Now, one of the links is a banner ad for FreemanTV.com. That's a new addition to our website. We already had a link to Freeman's blog from a while back when he was switching from freemanwhynotnews.eu to what is currently his main website, which is freemantv.com. Now, be sure to visit the site, and especially on the site, you'll find Space War News, which, you know, there is a plethora of the latest media commentary of relevant items of interest to us all. Many years now, Freeman and company, you know, he's got a few other helpers there that help him out. And stay tuned for more exciting and inspiring things from Freeman and the host of other Type 1 synchro mystics, which I count myself among, gathered together around the world in the very near future. We're going to be some amazing projects. I promise we will have some mind-blowing projects. We have them in the works already. But the development of such these are will keep you informed, all of you, as we progress. Now, right directly above Freeman's banner ad on our website is our chip-in box. Now, please chip into the show if you can. On our website, you'll find that chip-in box and donation offers below, which explain how many and what kind of custom-built, interactive Organite devices supporters of the Middle Chamber will be mailed based on their level of support. A special note. Tonight will be my final broadcast from the Inner Sanctum Studio number 3. That's right, my final broadcast from the place where I've been coming to you live. For the last year, I've paid over $200 a month to rent the space and provide cable broadband signal to transmit to you live weekly right here on American Freedom Radio. in the hopes that the show would be able to carry its own expense one day. Well, I could only manage to pay for a year by myself out of my own pocket. And while I did receive much in the way of gifts and donations this past first year of broadcast, it has not been enough to cover the cost. So now I have emptied this chamber and transferred all the sacred texts and relics, all the organite and sucker punches and radionic devices going. I have transferred them all to the new Inner Sanctum Studios number 4 at our current household. Basically, one half of our master bedroom will become my studio now. So we shall see how this works out. A reminder to all, please check out my blogs as well. We have freighterx.blogspot.com and synchrofiction.blogspot.com. On the FreighterX blog, you will see the new post with the media player for Blog Talk Radio, who we will be using for the time being for an after-hours show in the very, very near future. So stay tuned for word about that for now. I had been toying around with the idea of developing another broadcasting method through my own self-broadcasting for an after-hour show just to keep going for at least another hour after this broadcast of 2 hours with American Freedom Radio. We're still toying around with how we're going to do that, but basically, for now, I'm just going to choose the simplest, easiest route, which is Blog Talk Radio, as far as my research has shown. So anyways, anybody who has any suggestions out there...
I thought that's what you called Mater X, the simplest, easiest route.
Oh, man, what is up with that?
Well, I'm sorry.
And wait a minute now. Come on, who pulled your string anyway?
It just popped in there. Just quietly.
Oh, okay, I see. Just want to throw something. Just had to be have some attention right now, right? Or you waited
too long.
I just
want to throw it off, man.
I haven't even introduced you. Don't talk yet. You don't exist yet. Hold on. What were you going to say?
In a transdimensional universal.
Mater, yeah, right. You're sort of in flux between dimensions right now. You're in that sort of hyper space where the Starfleet
that rhymes with flux.
Yeah, right. So, what's up, Mater? You had something you wanted to say?
Oh, nothing really. I just heard my name and kind of missed what was beforehand.
So. All right. Well, let me continue the spiel, guys.
This is a good thing. This is a good thing. Let's move on.
All right. Cool. All right. So, for real time updates, follow me at Twitter. That's at Freighter369. If you want to follow Mater, it's at Mater369. Those are numbers, 369. So at Freighter369, at Mater369. So many changes going on right now. Things are truly in a state of flux. Yes, that's right. I'll use that same word because I think it is appropriate. A state of flux. You know, officially...
We should have a new website for fluxsake.com.
For fluck's sake. We can use that.
No. We could do that on the radio all the time now. I mean, for fuck's sake.
I'm going to start saying I saw what kind of trouble you ran into with our esteemed colleague, Dean Clifford, and his bombs left and right. The guy was throwing them out there willy-nilly. But I see that we could just pick school folks. You use the word flux and frack, and we're good to go.
Yeah, exactly. And also, the F word, you know, and what it connotes is also like a kind of flux when you're in the type of fluxing as it were, and also it works when you're fracking as well because it involves hydraulics and pumping and pressure.
Yes, and thank you. Very well put, my undisclosed.
In the case of the vaccinated public, it also contains chemicals being injected into pure GUI water supplies.
Isn't there some fluoride or aspartame you need to be consuming right now? Hold on, please.
Okay, it also makes the place uninhabitable.
All right. So anyways, let's get back to this. I was going to bring up a very important subject I wanted you to know about. Everyone listening, I have officially demitted from the local Blue Lodge of Ancient Free and Accepted Masons, which I became an affiliated member of when I moved back to my hometown here in New England from the Midwest, from Kansas, where I was made a Mason, dubbed and created a knight many times over in several orders of chivalry. But I have to say that I am truly disappointed in the local Massachusetts Freemasonry, to be completely honest with you all. And I could explain it in many different ways, which we could maybe get into that a little bit later. I mean, I've got, if you want to bring that up, if you want to talk about that, there's a lot of things we could talk about as to why I'm making the decisions I'm making. But for now, it's plain and simple that I just feel like they lack the emphasis of true education, of really, it's the same thing I would, my same criticism about public schools or even private schooling. I mean, it's basically the, there is no development of critical thinking going on in this education system. It's merely social conditioning, thought control, propaganda, dumbing down process, gradual.
You're literally getting showered with brainwashing and then conditioner.
Exactly. Yes, that's a good way to put it. I agree. So,
and how wet and how soaped up and everything do you get if you're in a shower and if you've got all the soap and conditioning you want? Hey, you're pretty well clean, aren't you? And I think what's happening is dirt is good. Dirt is a good thing because when you've got your hands in the dirt and all that kind of thing, you become immune to all the crap that's there. And so what they want to do is they want to sterilize you so that you're weak, so when anything real comes along, you can't handle it.
That's a good point. So, you know, one of the big reasons why I'm making these moves, and for the record, you know, everyone listening to this should be very clear that I am taking a huge swing at a very powerful organization very soon. I'm basically declaring a secret war already in progress. I'm calling the most powerful order in Freemasonry today a fraud. The secret war inside Freemasonry might get me sued at the least, and also the Stink Book Press maybe. And who knows at the most what might happen, but this story must be told, and the truth of what has happened and what is still happening today must come out.
Can we talk worst-case scenario? Like, what's the worst that the most powerful order of Freemasonry could do to you?
I don't know. I mean, I've had specific brethren sit me down, look me right in the eyes, and tell me that I was upsetting the apple cart. I better stop right now. That there were about a half a dozen other people who claimed to be the smartest people in the room, and I was challenging their position. And if I didn't stop, I would be targeted and destroyed.
Well, it just sounds like another sycophantic coward telling somebody else to keep their head down and don't rock the boat because I'm happy being a slave to me.
Absolutely. I just walked away thinking, wow, well, the beast has reared its ugly head. There it is. You know, that's one clear...
You know what happens, Freda?
Yes.
Okay, it's like the African savanna. Do you know what happens when you stick your neck out of the long grass? You can see all the predators. Because they all come for you. And this happened the other day, man. We discussed, you know how there's some members of the truth movement who are always going on about the Jew, and it's just Jew bashing kind of thing. It's really excessive, and there's no logic to it. It's just this irrational hate, and some of it's quite reasonable though. But anyway, I knew that the second that I started discussing this on my show, and I do this anything anybody asks me to discuss on my show, I do. They ask me to interview somebody, I do. I just instantly send emails. I don't care, man. It's just like that person, never heard of them, just send an email. I interview like five new people I've never met in my life a week for like 2 hours a piece or something like that, and some of the most whatever. But what happens is I knew that I was going to get slammed for it and have huge amounts of comments and saying I'm a shill and all that. And sure enough, predictable behavior. It's a biatch, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it's you're right, though, about sticking your neck out of the grass. And that's why I'm moving forward thinking all the time that you know, I'm starting to believe that this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, this is what I was supposed to do all along, I guess. I don't know. But well, I know this. Go ahead.
If you are capable now of seeing the predators and they reveal themselves, then you can take them out. Okay, that's what happens. They have to expose themselves if you do. Okay. I think that when we talk about real truth, we form a symbiote circle with whoever we're arguing with. And the reason is this, because the truth, as the middle chamber is about, is always in the middle. That's because both sides of every argument are always wrong. You know how I know that both sides of every major argument are wrong? Because if one side was right and the other was wrong, that argument wouldn't last very long, would it?
Yeah, right. I get you.
So these people are perpetuating a mammoth cacophony of bollocks that the world has never even been parlayed to. And they think that trying to maintain such scumbaggery is something that can be done eternally and grow their power forevermore. And they'll rule over everything. I mean, come on.
Well, their arrogance is inherited. It's inherited arrogance that is based on generations of doing just that, of duping the populace.
One of my favorite words to describe the arrogance is it's a Yiddish word. It's called chutzpah. It's got great phlegm when you pronounce it, chutzpah, you know. And what I think is funny is that these people who are talking to us, okay, and commenting and saying that we're in it for the money and blah, 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 okay. I walked away like my very last paycheck as a working for a slave thing was like $4,000 for the month and nearly $12,000 worth of shopping vouchers as a bonus for the last 90-day sales that I did, special promotion, right? That was my last paycheck, and I've been living on the bones of my ass for the last 4 years ever since. And people accuse me of doing it for the money when I ask for donations and stuff. Freda, you got money problems, right? Every patriot's got money problems. You know why? Because a patriot's got to eat. And anybody who thinks that patriots don't got to eat, they have ignored crucial human anatomy. Because it is impossible in this day and age, I don't care what your situation is, to devote yourself 100% to something that is not involving feeding and just supporting yourself. Like, if you're devoting yourself to something else other than yourself, something greater than just your own personal wants and needs, that kind of got to have it for me, got to have it now mentality, if you really do look at the big picture, you understand that your life is worth more than your average daily happiness, that you have a greater destiny, and that you perhaps have seen things that other people have not. And once you start down that path, you try to take responsibility for what you feel was lacking. You know, like, nobody took responsibility for exposing this kind of stuff, so I'm going to take responsibility for it. And after you start doing it for a while, you find out that other people start to rely on you being responsible for it. So regardless of whether or not it was your responsibility in the first place, it is now.
All right. Well, that's our first cue for our first break here in the middle chamber, where we're obviously speaking with Vinny Eastwood from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, your gateway to the world. Stay tuned for more when we come back. I'm talking with Vinny Eastwood and the lovely Mater X, and we are just kind of chatting away. But I wanted to say before we got back to our chat that, you know, the book, The Secret War Inside Freemasonry, which I'm working on currently, and several others, that the Sync Book Press over at thesyncbook.com will be the exclusive publishers of my material for the next 6 books at least. And, you know, one of these is a new project that any of you out there, any aspiring writers out there, they're going to want to get in on this, because the team over at the Sync Book Sync Book Press, and I will be joining forces on my Synchrofiction blog to compile an actual anthology of the best submissions to the blog for a near future publication. For real. So go over to synchrofiction.blogspot.com, join the blog, and submit to the Streampunk Chronicles. Thrilling
yes,
Tales.
Submit.
Submit. That's right. Send in your submissions. You can read there. The submission guidelines are there. You know, Vinny's getting excited about the term submission. Relax.
I'm very submissive.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. So, anyway, just for the sake of formality and all that, I'd like to just ask you all to help me in welcoming our good friend and fellow comrade here for the struggle for truth and freedom for all of us, and as well as one of my top five personal heroes, one hilarious voice in the wilderness, the one and only dark occulted mystic himself, Vinny Eastwood, from the Vinny Eastwood Show, also on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. What is your schedule? How often do we catch you on AFR, Mr. Eastwood?
Well, I frequently practice my dark occulted mysticism 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 5 till 7 central. Now, where's everybody listening from? A lot of you be listening in the United States, and I'm aware that there's like 4 time zones, right? So if you're on Pacific, it's 3 till 5 p.m. Okay, so if you're getting the kids from school and stuff like that, you're stuck in LA traffic, and you know for a fact that you're going to be spending at least 2 hours in the car getting your ass back to Anaheim. Okay, listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show on your iPhone through AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. We get on a different person every day. Like, I think maybe we're coming up on nearly 2 years now. I think on June 21st, it will be 2 full years of the Vinny Eastwood Show. I'm the first New Zealander, as far as I know, I've not heard of anybody else ever, to have a American-based talk radio show, because I know more about America than most Americans do. And it's Americans who tell me that. Okay. And this is because I interview different people every single day from all over the world, from every continent, and in many cases, and speaking in very funky accents and what have you, and have all manner of wide ranges of opinions and views and experiences and what have you. The old adage that everybody has a story is very, very true. And I'm very flippant with the VinnieEastwoodShow.com because it's very open slather. You don't have to worry about, you know, where somebody is in their particular life or what they actually do, what their website is, or any other type of information like that. It's simply like this. The show that I have is a platform, and the platform is to be given out to as many people as possible, to as many different views as possible, and I don't care which. Quite frankly, the listeners and the guests themselves, anybody who's heard of me, who does me the courtesy of sending me an email asking me to interview somebody or anything like that, I have an automatic email that I can just do. It takes me 5 seconds tops if I've got the email address of a guest to invite them onto the show. And a vast majority of the time, that one email is really all it takes to confirm their slots. So we have 5 slots a week that can be turned into between 5 and 10 guests per week. We have roundtable discussions with different activists from across the world that have perhaps similar fields of research and expertises in different areas of those similar fields. Like we had the great occult roundtable discussion with Frederick X, Mark Passio, and Curtis Davis. Okay, that was the most awesome, funny, and just off the hook, philosophical and real knowledgeable equation that brought all those people together, and I think it really created something new. And I don't see that happening a lot in a lot of big Patriot Talk radio, you know? You don't have big roundtable discussions.
I agree. It was good fun. And, of course, the subject topics and the people speaking from the varied background, like you said, that's unique. The three of us are very unique people to be sitting down at a table with and speaking about the things. Now, just to bring this back around, for all you L.A.
Well, and that's another thing, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to preface what you're about to say, because I noticed something in that conversation where we had the three occult specialists on, Mark and Curtis and Freda here. What every single one of them did throughout the entire thing is they heard things that each other would say, and they remembered them, and then they referred back to them later on in the conversation and brought things back around. And it's funny, because that's one of my favorite quotes of myself, is that in the end, everything goes back to the beginning. And that's what occultists do. They look at things that trigger their mind, and they expand on them because they know that they're important.
And it's a demonstration of the critical thinking, the attentiveness, awareness, attentive ear, the listening, active listening. That's I think important in this whole sphere of influence that we're engaged in, which we refer to as the truth movement or new thought movement. But the point I wanted to bring back around to all the LA commuters out there, rather than falling down like old Kirk Douglas, go ahead, or Michael Douglas, as the case may be, go ahead and listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show and have a big guffaw about the bankster thuggeries and scumbaggeries. Vinnie's way of presenting what we're dealing with here, which is serious, serious subject matter, but in a way that I think is important for us to laugh. I mean, we have to embrace the absurd, the hilarity of it all, in order to diffuse the fear. That is, I think, a key right there. To cut through the fear is laughter, and the carefreeness that it brings.
Well, think about how people raise their kids and what have you. You talk to babies with your baby talk and that kind of stuff. Well, you know what's really funny? Talking about New World Order conspiracies with baby talk. Oh, do you love baby? What are you talking about the eugenics, eh? Oh, what is the monosodium glutamate? Do you the thymer or something? Oh, well, the depleted uranium, isn't it cute? I found that pretty amusing, because I was just doing that to my mate's baby, my girlfriend Sarah were just cracking up laughing, and so was the baby. The baby was loving it. Okay, and it's clicked for me. It is a cross generational feeling that laughter in the face of adversity is the only thing that makes you capable of actually getting over that adversity. Because what happens to people is that they either wake up, or they get trauma, or they get arrested, or they lose their job. Or, there's umpteen different ways that the New World Order fracks all of us on a daily basis. And there's occasionally big events or whatever. Those big events are often the things that wake people up, like me getting arrested at the age of 20, for only just turned 20 kind of thing, and then telling the cops everything, just admitting everything and exactly how much I had and giving them everything, blah, 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 blah. And they still made up evidence, even though I gave them everything. and it's just, you lose your faith in the system, and you have that big crash. And those traumatic moments are the things that actually teach you the most important lessons, because they hurt the most. They really do. And we forget that those hurting moments are the most important ones for shaping your character. A lot of people want to go back in time and say, I wish I could change that. I wish that didn't happen to me. If I had only done this better, and coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's not going to bloody happen, okay? Some people have access to time travel, allegedly, but you don't. So I'll tell you what. This is what your trauma is like. It's like an obstacle course. This is life, okay? You are in a boot camp. You are on an obstacle course. And that trauma that you're going through, that real bad suffering that you're going through at this particular second in time, is a big wall that you've got to climb over. And you're not quite strong enough yet to get over that wall. So what do you have to do? You have to keep repeating the course until you get over it. And that's why people keep repeating the same things that they've already done all the time. They go to work, they come home, they watch TV, they get drunk on the weekends, they go to work, they come home, they watch TV, they get drunk on the weekends, so on and so forth and so on and so forth, because they haven't gotten over whatever the heck is bugging them, and they haven't decided that they're going to create something real with their time, with their lives. They don't decide to make something important of themselves. And it's not their fault, per se. It's the inevitable outcome of an overarching system that doesn't want people to realize their potential, because people who realize their own potential and their own value and their worth and their sovereignty are impossible to control. Not just hard, but impossible. They're the kind of people who would rather die than bow. Okay.
Well, we are insulated from the truth on many levels, whether materially, psychologically, and you know, you made a point earlier, it's a farce. It's make believe. It's like Wizard of Oz type man behind the curtain type reality. It's totally make, you know, Wizard of Oz is a great analogy, because the Wizard of Oz, it's all about believing. He was imposing his dream upon Oz, you know what I mean? That was the reality that was being, everyone had to go along with it by looking at the face and not the man behind the curtain, you know, look at the big scary face with all the noise and the smoke and the fire. Oh, pay attention to that and be afraid. No, it's just a guy behind the curtain running wheels and buttons, you know, and that's the, you know, the actual string pullers in our social reality are of that same ilk. It's that same caliber of make-believe. And the fact of the matter is that it is that day-in, day-out drudgery, you know, that trudging on the toiling road. You know, I often joke about it, toiling out there in the fields of the pharaohs and the shadow of the pyramids, you know, or in the salt mines. I mean, it's like that. Think about all right, if reality is as we have come to believe, if we do recognize that consciousness is perennial, that we are born again, reborn into new bodies, then if we're trapped in these material existence, generationally, over and over again, we are just buried in materialism. It is impossible to awaken in that, from that state. And yet, there's a flicker of hope, because some do. And that's what, you know, I've heard often you and many others say. The one great thing, the one true fact is, at least you can say that you have, those of you listening who can hear what we're saying and do agree with what we're saying, you have awakened. We have awakened to this truth. We do realize the farce that's going on. It is the emperor has no clothing type stuff. I mean, we're walking down the road watching the farce be played out before us. It is true. And yet, you know, I mean, one of the greatest ways to combat it, aside from laughing in the face of it, is not complying. I mean, that's the one thing I've heard this week and in the last few weeks screaming at me loud and clear from all around, is the idea that we do not have to comply. That is my clarion call, my battle cry for 2012 to the people of the world: non-compliance. Don't comply. Don't give in. Don't do it. Don't believe the hype. Don't buy into the myth.
Yeah. And also, try and become a bit more active as well, because what I've found is people are becoming increasingly, should I say, 2012 shift is coming. It's all going to be over anyway. Doomsday, people are relying on prophecy and all that kind of stuff. Mate, every single prophecy that does come true only comes true because people make it come true.
We heard that from one of our former guests who's going to be on real soon, John Michael Greer, as a matter of fact, next week. So we'll continue this conversation with Vinnie Eastwood, and somewhere in the background there, muted right now, Mater X. When we come back, the Middle Chamber with Freighter X here on American Freedom Radio. Stay tuned.
the middle chamber with Freighter X.
And Mater X.
At American Freedom Radio. Coming to you live. Broadcasted in several different strains of the rainbow and dark occulted mysticism mixed in there with several flavors of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. That's what this is all about right here at the Middle Chamber FX.com. And Mater X is probably going to be turned into the pseudo host at this particular point. Or I think I kind of just automatically assumed that position, didn't I?
I think you're doing just
because Freight has dropped off.
I'm sure he'll be with us momentarily.
He might be. But we wanted to talk about the topic of a truth of school. And I was thinking about this, and a lot of people get this idea when I explain this to them. And I'm going to keep explaining it to as many people until somebody understands it better than me. And it's about making from elementary school, daycare, and the whole way through university, PhDs, and everything, strip all of those programs free of the New World Order programming and all of that conditioning and BS, and actually teach people to be proper, intelligent, personally responsible, enlightened, generous, kind beings that are capable of fulfilling their potential and motivating themselves and not requiring other people's praise in order to accomplish their dreams. That, from birth, from cradle to the grave, I think should be the role of the education system. But I don't think the education system should be centralized at all. Because you really do have to think about communities here and how important it is for children to grow up in a community environment. And truth is, I think on the whole, if they could, would homeschool their kids. They'd much rather teach their kids themselves. And the whole idea of a truth of school, I think, is actually going to be very important. Because the New World Order and the Agenda 21 protocols and things of that nature have now captured the education systems, are now forcibly dumbing down everybody, and they are turning us into the next generation of global government-loving climate change mob clowns with no independence. Completely and utterly dependent in every sense of the word is what the education system currently does. That's its modus operandi, okay? Because if you're dumb, uncreative, okay, can't problem solve, boom, you're screwed if something goes wrong and there ain't somebody there to bail you out, to help your ass out of that hole or whatever, you're screwed if you can't think. Okay, so that's what a truther school would have to be. And truthers with their babies are very, very different, I've found to a lot of other regular parents. There's love there and everything. That all seems to be in common with how everybody raises their kids. But truth is, takes things a little differently. For example, one parent would normally tell their child to do something. The child would ask why, and the parent would say, "Because I said so." The truther would tell the child to say, "Brush your teeth." And the child would say, "Why?" And the truther would say, "Because when you brush your teeth, it cleans the dirt off them and it protects them so that you don't have yucky-looking teeth and so that they're strong so that they don't break and hurt." Oh, okay. And then the child understands something other than authority. And when they ask questions from then on, they expect an answer that makes sense. And when they go through into the public school system, and when they ask questions, they don't get answers that make sense. They wind up becoming the dropout students. That's why these public elementary schools are not made for our kids, okay? Because it crushes their individuality. It crushes that questioning spirit. It whips them over the head with a cane, as it were.
Well, I totally agree. I'm back into the conversation. Sorry about that, guys. I had some sort of dark, occulted, mystical problem. I don't know, but I was lost for a moment there. But I want to say, from what you're talking about, that the one thing that I've noticed with this whole system of control is this little angle to it that I think that we don't give enough credit to the power of this angle to the whole system of control. The process of dumbing folks down, the human consciousness and the human mind is so incredibly aware. You know, it knows even when it doesn't know. And that creates its own form of anxiety, to know that you don't know. And it creates such a sense of fear, I think, a fear of exposure, because you know you're walking fraud, especially if you're any kind of specialist in any kind of field where people look to you with authority. You know in this society of ours that you are dumbed down or you lack something in yourself, or you're completely delusional and believe you are fully equipped. But I think anybody who's truly self-aware and on any level recognizes the facts, what they don't know. And that creates its fear. That's what I think allows people to be manipulated in many ways by our controlling society, because they are afraid of the fact that they don't know what to do. And they know they should, but they don't know what to do. And so they like turn to the authorities and let them guide them and let somebody with confidence tell them.
Stupid thing to do, okay? When you don't know what to do, figure it out. It's pretty straightforward, because then you don't need anyone else. Okay, for example, if you don't know how to build a website, figure it out. And that way you don't need anybody to pay anybody to do it for you, okay? I had an activist, Lisa Ur. She used to be very, very successful, hummus and all that kind of stuff. And then she became a truther and she sold the business and she got rid of everything. And now she's living on a shoestring budget, just like it happens to all of us who become successful truthers, you know? We have these big careers going and then something happens and then we just have to give it all up for the truth. It's what happens, okay? It's kind of like your country. You have to give everything up for it, even though it ain't going to really give anything up for you. I think, what was I talking about?
I'm going to take this moment to interject while you gather your thoughts there, Vinny. Something that you said about the schooling, it made me think of something that seems to happen kind of not necessarily often for us with our children, because we did start out homeschooling, and it worked out really well, and I think that our children became very well-rounded people. In a sense, because of it. But I've noticed that, it's almost also like a divide between the child and the parent, because, you know, they'll come home with a lesson plan and, ask you for help. And it may be something that you're somewhat familiar with, but not necessarily their particular lesson. And if you don't really know what they're doing, your child kind of looks at you like you're lesser than and a less of authority on certain things as their teacher is. And so,
well, that's why you've got to teach them that there's no such thing as authority.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we've done a pretty good job with our children in being pretty honest with them, you know, and inspiring them to question things that they don't quite understand. We never did that, you know, the baby talk and everything like that. I always talked to them as they were human beings, as opposed to people who were lesser than me, you know, and I think that has really paid off in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, the baby talk for me is something that, like, I love animals as well, and I talk like that to the chickens and the cat and that sort of stuff. And what you find is with tones of voice is that they have certain soothing properties and things like that, because in the natural world you have things like crickets, cicadas, and other insects and birds and birdsong and things of that nature. If you're in these wooded areas around the United States and you've got lots of beautiful birdsong, you find this it has this sort of soothing and calming effect. Mm. And that particular audio range that baby talk kind of that people do is very, very soothing and enjoyable, and it allows them to actually develop kind of like it's like laughter, and that was what was happening, because everybody was laughing, including the baby, and it's smiling. Now, I find that anything that makes you laugh and makes you smile inherently has a positive outcome, even if it's a dirty joke or a bad joke or something about genocide or anything like that. In fact, the worse it is, the subject that you're laughing about, the better the effect it has on you, I believe, because if you're capable of associating horrific events and terrible emotions with a positive reaction, then you're capable of dispelling all of that negativity that would otherwise reside within you like a parasite.
Sure. I can completely understand that. And the whole, idea of break.
Yeah, when we come back, we will continue the conversation. I know one thing, Vinny, we are definitely raising good little rebellious individuals, because they definitely question all of our authority. So we'll be right back in the middle chamber with Mater X and Vinny Eastwood right here on American Freedom Radio. Stay tuned. Chamber. I am Freighter X, talking with Vinny Eastwood and my lovely wife, Mater X. But before we get back to the conversation, the top of the hour, I like to take the time to go over what's coming up in the very near future here in the Middle Chamber. Now, also, actually, this is something that's coming up not in the Middle Chamber, but another show. This week on Tuesday night, the 12th of June, 2012, I will be appearing on Occult Science Radio with the Illuminated One, Curtis Davis, to discuss esoteric Rosicrucianism, Druidry, ceremonial magic, Enochian magic, and much, much more. All the things that one might not suspect. But don't miss Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com, Occult Science Radio with the Illuminated One and yours truly. Look forward to that this Tuesday. All right, next week on the 16th, we will be welcoming once again John Michael Greer. Will return to discuss his newer publication. I think it might be his most recent, but he might have another one, actually, because he's a dynamo. He turns them out faster than I can read them. It's called, the one we're going to discuss is called Mystery Teachings of the Living Earth, which I've been reading for the last week, and I will have it finished by next week. And it's an awesome little book. It's very short, put out by Wiser, Red Wheel Wiser Books. Excellent treatise, a modern working of basically the same principles that we find in the Hermeticum, like the Kabbalion or the Divine Pymander, any people that might be familiar with those terms. But also a new outlook woven in there is a deep ecology, a sacred ecology that I think that if for any people who are, you know, who resonate with that sort of vibration, which I consider myself one of those people, I think you'd find it to be a very enriching experience to check out this book. And so we're going to discuss the principles that he's laid out in that book next week. I'm really looking forward to his return. He's a wealth of information, and he belongs to many of the same orders that I belong to. He's actually the highest ranking member, the Grand Arch Druid of the Ancient Order of Druids in America, which I am like the lowest rank, a candidate initiate, you know, so it's the bottom rank. But so I'll be once again interviewing him, and it's really exciting. We love to have him. Now, on the 23rd, we'll have Lon Milo Duquette return to discuss his newer publication called Enochian Vision Magic, which I have a copy of, but I have not started reading. And I, again, look forward to discussing this material because I'm very uninformed and inexperienced in this work, in this material. And I do have some misgivings and some concerns and some apprehensions about even handling this material, to be honest, really. But that's part of the reason why I'm doing it, why I'm looking at it. Because anything that kind of like challenges my psyche or my awareness, I want to take the time to examine. And, you know, part of examining is to examine the material and the effect it has on me as I look at it. I mean, that's been my experience. Call it what you will. But that's what that's how I approach these subjects. And I feel sort of drawn to at least examine for understanding on maybe just a scholarly level what's being presented. If not, as someone who's considering practicing, I'm not really looking to get involved in Enochian magic. I have my own practice that I'm involved in, which I find very rewarding. But I am curious.
I'm interested in getting into hokey-pokeying magic.
Yep. There you go, man. You go ahead and just take it down the funny road.
You do the hokey-tokey and your dark occult and mysticism. That's what it's all about. Sacrifice babies!
Oh, no. Yeah, whatever. That's just disrespectful. But anyways, back to my point here. Hold on. You nobody pulled your string yet there, Eastwood. Hold on.
I had to get epigenical
get back
for
to
a
your
moment.
Box. Hold on. All right, no. So back to the up-and-coming shows. After Lon Milo Duquette, we have July 14th, we'll have Judy Carroll from Brisbane, Australia. And she'll enter the middle chamber to present her Zeta material, which is very interesting stuff. We're talking 21st century channeling material. So I am I'm interested to see what comes of this. I have two books to review, but they're down the road a bit. I haven't even started those. But I am definitely interested in this material, I have to say. What I looked at, the brief little glance that I gave it, it seemed interesting. So and that's what I'm all about, is presenting interesting subjects and research and people who offer a unique perspective. So stay tuned for that coming on July 14th. And stay tuned for more awesome guests and topics in the future here in the Middle Chamber, which is brought to you by American Freedom Radio, the world's meeting place. Now, tonight, Freighter's pick for the week is Dean Clifford's website, or at least the site providing Dean's material, which is called timeforthetruth.info. Go there, save the site to your bookmarks, check out this material because it is truly amazing. This guy, I tell you, I'm really inspired by this guy. And before we get into anything like that, I just want to remind everyone of our show website, middlechamberfx.com. You will find the chip-in box, the donation offers I mentioned before beneath, which explain the various Organite offers for material support for the show. So please help support the show if you can. Again, many thanks to all the listeners out there who have given support in all the ways that we have received them, in books, material, devices, you know, money. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for all that you've done. And we will continue to do what we can. So, anyways, back to this. Dean Clifford. I know Vinny just recently had Dean Clifford on the show. And people, before we get into this, I just want an overarching theme for tonight to me. As I said before, my big warrior's call to the world, I'm telling you, is non-compliance 2012. And that doesn't mean non-action. Like Vinny pointed that out. We're not talking about not doing anything. We're talking about not doing the things that we're being herded to do, the things that you sensed on a deep, intuitive level that are unnatural, inhumane, and unacceptable, unacceptable behavior. So I say non-compliance, people of Earth. And I say that the people, we are the real movement, the real new paradigm, hear him now, all within range of this broadcast, right here and now. You are the resistance. And with you and me and Vinny and Mater, equally, the truth remains the same. My lethal weapon is my mind. Your lethal weapon is your mind. That's it. Your mind is your lethal weapon. And so, you know, Dean Clifford understands this, and I know listening to Vinny have him, and he was also on Red Ice, and he's got a bunch of videos on YouTube. I mean, the guy's amazing. The idea that, with a big, big idea that he puts forth is this notion that the falsity, the farce we were talking about earlier, that our governments are simply corporations, people, using our maps of our country as their business market regions and overlaying it with their name, making us all believe that we're a part of this government, when it's merely a contract that was either began with your parents or with you at a very young and impressionable age. My grandfather marched me down to the post office the day I turned 18 so I could sign up for selective service. Thanks, Grandpa. Maybe I could get drafted too, you know? I mean, just nuts. And so, you know, his delivery, this man, Dean Clifford, his delivery is, it's pleasing to me. I mean, his reasoning is simplistic. In a sense, that strength, a strength and a simpleness. That's key, you know? And wouldn't you agree, Vinny?
Yeah.
That's why you had him on your show, correct?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, no. The reason why I have people on my show isn't because I like them or because I care about them or anything like that. It's because either they asked to come on my show or one of my listeners asked them to come on the show. Or at some point there's some description of a news item or whatever, and I want their commentary on it or whatever, and that's I think the way it should really be on any kind of platform like this, because I think the further away you get from your listeners, like the further out of reach you personally as the host get, the more of a douchebag you'll turn into. That's basically what I feel is the case of it, you know. And it's something that George Norrie told me is that, you know, you got to talk to the people that you talk to on the, like, I had two listeners pop round yesterday and just hang out with me for a couple of hours here in the studio. We're talking about all sorts of stuff. They'd only just woken up, as truth is, really very recently, like within the last 6 weeks kind of thing. And had been listening to my show for a while and weren't sure about it, but, you know, everything started to click for them. And yesterday they came around and they asked me, you know, how many, does this happen a lot? And I say, well, yeah, it does. You know, like I love having my listeners come around to the house and chill out or even go to dinner at their place or anything like that. You know, just frack, open up, man, because truth is a really, really isolated in terms of the structure of society, and so you have to make a lot of extra effort in order to really hang out with people now in the truth movement. You know, just there's many, many social things that we do that are really, really good. Just being in contact with each other, just being in each other's real presence, knowing that there's somebody in your particular area who thinks like you, it is a hell of a lot of really good, positive reinforcement that I think we all need. And I've been hanging out with numbers of listeners for a number of years now, you know, from time to time. And sure enough, every now and again, person here, person there, or whatever, they'll come back to me and they'll say similar things. You know, Vinny, I've really appreciated hanging out with you. You've taught me so much, and I've really grown as a person. And we've done cool stuff together, and it's been really awesome. And I say, well, you know, the feeling's mutual, and I think that when you're with other people, if you're of like mind and you both like to have fun and you both don't take life too bloody seriously, then it's always positive outcomes that come from it, especially if you're a truther of some description, because, hey, you're not going to exterminate each other or tie each other's hands back or bow down to the New World Order or do anything of that nature or be sociopathic and things like that. Or at least that's the myth that perhaps we've grown up with, because I know there's a hell of a lot of backstabbing that goes on back scenes in the truth movement. You know, some of the stuff, being on radio 2 years and talking to all these big names that are throughout the truth movement across virtually every diverse subject you could ever pretty much conceive of, there's a lot of private and very deep and very disturbing information that I kind of have taken for the first time in my life, editorializing aspects of and actually censored out. And will not discuss on air a lot of these things that that I'm told privately,
okay?
Because it would damage the truth movement. Yeah, I know we've got a call. I just kind of wanted to finish my point.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
It would just basically look at it like this: if you want to criticize other people in the truth movement, ask yourself this question: is that person in the truth movement who you are criticizing and want to bring down and everything like that, are they likely to exterminate you? No, they're not. Think about it. How much argument can you have when somebody's actually not trying to exterminate you, when you realize that there are people who really are trying to exterminate you and succeeding in most cases? Okay?
A better negative virtue I have never heard in my life, man. That was amazing. Your logic. Uh-huh. Your logic there was amazing. But speaking of listeners and hearing from them, anyone who wants to call in, they can talk with us tonight at 218-339-8525. That's the call-in line. And as you said, we do have a caller who's been waiting patiently now to talk to us. So let's bring them into the conversation and see what they might, you know, how they might illuminate us. This is Sid in Kentucky, I believe. You are live with Vinny Eastwood, Freighter X, and Mater X in the middle chamber. Go ahead.
Hello, Freighter and Mater. How are you?
Excellent.
Hey, I wanted to just tell you today is Dean Clifford's birthday.
Wow.
And he's having a really fun day. I've been in contact with the people with him. And the new project, Freighter, the new project that he's working on, if you liked what you've seen, you'll love what he's doing.
Oh, that is amazing. We're about to go to a break, Sid. This is Sid, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, will you stay with us until we...
I will.
Okay, well, we're about to go to break, so everybody stay right there. We're going to hear more about Dean Clifford's birthday and what's got going. Sid in Kentucky is going to talk with me, Vinny Eastwood, Mater X here in the Middle Chamber on American Freedom Radio. Stay tuned.
Apparently he's throwing a contract as kegger. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Right on.
We'll be right back.
Intergalactic house band right there playing Voodoo Chow. We're back in the middle chamber with Vinny Eastwood, Mater X, Freighter X, and Sid in Kentucky, who's in close contact with Dean Clifford. Says it's his birthday today. That's interesting. Didn't know that, but I have many, many positive things to say about Dean Clifford. I'll tell you, I've one of the biggest things that I just his message to us all is that we are in anarchy now, people. We are in a state of complete lawlessness right now. Governments, corporations, cops breaking the law.
Actually, that's not what anarchy is. That's what chaos is. And people confuse
I'm talking, yeah, you know. But my point is, you're right. Absolutely. Anarchy means no hierarchy. And the true sense of anarchy is one that I've embraced for a long time, one without leaders. But anarchy that most people out there, when you say anarchy to, they think chaos and disorder.
People have been made to obfuscate the meanings of so many words. And it's like, you know, you have a look at oligarchy, you know, oli meaning money, archy meaning ruler. You look at monarchy, you know, the mon meaning the royalty and what have you. Or in Jamaica's case, it means ruled by mon and as in mon, you know, mon. And I think that the system of government we really have is the evilarchy. Okay, now it's a mixture of evil, the oligarchy, and malarkey.
even the more, you know, in your face, right in the dictionary, there are dictionaries that say anarchy equals chaos or disorder. That's the definition they give you. So it's not just implied, it's deliberate, it's direct in your face.
Well, and see,
so
what Anna, I, oh, but what Anna I meant, means though, the lack of, okay, yeah, lack and of. Archy means ruler. So anarchy just means you don't have a ruler.
No ruler.
It doesn't mean there's no rules.
Self-governing.
Self-governing.
Doesn't mean there's no rules.
Mutual cooperative.
Just means you don't have a central authoritative figure that everybody has to bow down to and prostrate and go, oh, yes, Mr. Barack Obama, I would bow down to the master. Oh, master, please give me some scraps for the table. I will rape and pillage the Middle East for you. I will contaminate it with depleted uranium. And I will also make sure, master, that I will shoot people randomly in the street for absolutely no reason and then complain when I get suicide bomb attacked. Yes, master.
And I would drink the Kool-Aid. I would drink the aspartame. I would drink the fluoride. But no, in all seriousness, our movement is truly about the restoration of law and order, true law and order. And that's why anarchy doesn't mean the absence of law and order, as we pointed out. What we all recognize was the ultimate human state was one of, you know, egalitarianism, of cooperation, mutual aid. This is the way real humans act. And this is what we want to go back to, is acting in that manner. I believe, that's my opinion. I'll speak for myself. But I want to hear more from Sid in Kentucky, who has been waiting patiently while we ranted. Sid, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm enjoying it. Hey, I want to correct something, though. Dean and I don't speak. I am in... real good contact with a healer that he's living with. He and his wife, I'm sorry, his wife who's the healer and her husband live with Dean and his girlfriend on a big farm that they've started. And I actually had the opportunity to take a look at some sun poisoning that Dean had 2 days ago and help diagnose it for her so that she could help treat him.
Well, that's good.
Well, what? It's good that he had sun poisoning? You're not very nice.
No, I meant it's good that you helped to treat him.
I'm kidding. I was just kidding you, man. Hey, Yeah, and it's Carrie Lee, by the way, Vinny. She has got healing powers, that of a shaman. And I'm sure that Dean is in very good hands and enjoying his birthday. Actually, they're over there. Everybody's over there now celebrating. Well, so, yeah, and by the way, you described Dean as well as anybody could describe him. The way that he approaches the topic is clear. He has such clarity on the topic.
Clarity.
Yes, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
No, and, you said that, and that's what he has. Absolutely, yes, oh. I agree.
I was worried that I said it wrong. But that's not even why I really called you. It just happened to be that I knew what was going on when you started talking about Dean. I had something totally different to ask you.
Fire,
it has to do with animals. It has to do with animals visiting you.
Okay.
Do you know anything about that?
I just had a cat visit me.
He's really, what?
I had a hawk visit me today, a red-tailed hawk.
Red-tailed hawks. I know much about red-tailed hawks, actually.
I've had them visit me before. But
well, you know,
I spent a long time with this hawk today. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the hawk is the messenger of the gods. The hawk is believed to bring messages from the divine to us. And
the red-tailed hawk came, Maynard. The red-tailed hawk came when I cried out to God today.
There you go. I mean, I've got many anecdotal stories about red-tailed hawk experiences. I don't want to take up all the time. Whether we, you know, I can go into them any time, but that's something to definitely meditate on. I think, you know, consider what you experienced and what you thought. You know, if you journal, you know, journal some and reflect.
I already know what it's all about, though, dude. I was wondering what you thought about the experience of animals in general visiting.
Oh, I think it's a powerful, powerful part that nature plays in communicating to us through animals and through plant life. Way
sure.
More than we're even really capable of understanding. Plants are our teachers.
You know, Maynard, I stopped giving my plants water that had fluoride in it. When I stopped taking water that had fluoride in it, and my plants have loved me ever since.
Yep,
I'm just throwing that out there in the air for other people to hear.
It's a good point to make. It absolutely is. And, you know, we have so much to learn from the life around us. That's our way back to the Gaian Matrix in my mind. And the animals and the plants around us, they speak to us. They call to us. They guide us. And they tell us things we need to hear when we need to hear them. And I think that your visitation today was obvious. You know, there was something that needed to be communicated to you, you know.
Well, I do this a lot. This happens to me. I like have hummingbirds land on my finger. That happens to me.
My mother.
But the whole Gaia thing, Guy, that's not me, really. But I respect your side of it. It's
sure.
Just throwing it out there for other people to hear. You know, we have lost touch. I wake up, Maynard, singing in Indian hymns. It's happened ever since the Gulf of Mexico was on was blowing up in front of us a couple years ago. I was so tore up inside, crying every day. I'm 60-year-old man. And then one morning, woke up singing in Indian chants that I'd never done before in my life, laughing hysterically. And it hasn't stopped, and I haven't stopped laughing since.
Well,
yeah,
dude. You make one really good point about the lost touch part of our reality. I mean, when's the last time, listeners out there, anyone listening, when's the last time you stood barefoot on the ground? Just stood barefoot on the ground with your feet barefoot on the ground, whether it be grass, dirt, whatever. I mean, I can't, you know, it's something that we don't think a lot about, but wow, your feet. I mean, when you talk to acupuncturists or acupressurists, they talk about all the nerve endings and the points on your feet that are so powerful. And we wear shoes with rubber soles that insulate us from electrical impulse charges that might be literally coming up from the earth into our feet if we just stood on the ground barefoot. Who knows? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing.
You know what's also awesome for guys as well? Going outside and taking a leak on the ground, or as I like to call it. Taking a wiki leak.
Yeah, rub it in, Vinny, right? I've been jealous about that one thing my whole life.
It just takes a bit of practice, mate.
Well, listen, we got another caller. I'm going to go on. Thanks, Sid in Kentucky, for calling in and sharing. And, you know, I certainly understand that feeling of overwhelmness about the dread and despair. I mean, we heard some awful news this week about these giant, you know, garbage floating this way from Japan toward America, West Coast, you know, giant sea filled with...
Are they shipping in the new Sanyo and Panasonic iPads now, are they?
And there's the light side of genocide, everyone.
It's probably just as radioactive, too.
Either way, we're all fooked, everybody. We are definitely fooked now.
The problem is, you know, we're so fooked that we can't even turn around and go fook ourselves.
Well, pretty soon with mutations, maybe that won't be so hard.
For fuck's sake.
For flux, I mind you. All right, we have another caller. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying.
For fuck's sake.
Fluck. Yeah, we're saying flux, everyone. F-L-U-X. But anyways, FCC rulings and all. Tim in Wisconsin, would you like to get in on the zany hilarity going on here with Vinny Eastwood, Mater X, Freighter X here in the middle chamber? You're live. What do you have for us?
Hi, Freighter. Before my main point, I just felt I wanted to say it's cool to be the first time, you know, calling in on and talking to you on your show, and I can't help read you feeling that any show that you have with Vinny Eastwood is to me is for sure a real good show. And what I wanted to say is the thing I liked about Vinny before talking about the way he goes about bringing people on his show, because of the fact that the further you get away from the listeners, that he said the more of a douchebag that you become. And what I'm about to say, I'm not trying to sound at all. I'm not trying to sound at all like I still don't think that, you know, that a host shouldn't still bring people on that are credible, that do have rehab experience in what they're talking about and all that kind of stuff. But there's sometimes that, like in the past, before I found out about American Freedom Radio and Republic Broadcasting and Oracle, and I was listening to Genesis Communication Network, and I listened to the Power Hour. It was, you know, get me on sometimes that for sure when she never had any people on like Vinny says he has that are, you know, even those that are even, you know, more, you know, regular, you know, kind of people, that it just, you know, kind of got me sometimes that, and again, you know, not that, you know, a host, you know, shouldn't, you know, still look for people that are real credible and are real knowledgeable and have a lot of experience in something, but I really do feel that I really do like it better when a host, you know, like Vinny, you know, also, you know, brings people on that are also even more just, you know, regular people.
Yeah, I do that quite a lot, and I've had a lot of people who've been sort of activists and been campaigning and been going through the courts and with family courts and all of this sort of stuff all over the place, or they've been active with chemtrails in the area. They've never been on radio before. They've never even so much as called in or anything like that. And I think that it's like, I'm in a position where I can just give those people who've never had any experience in professional talk radio a full hour at least to come on and just talk about themselves and whatever they do. And at the very least, they get appreciated for all this huge amount of work that they've already done, you know, so they obviously deserve some time on radio. So I may as well be the one to give them to it because, like it or not, I'm the one with the power to. Remember, power was given to me by American Freedom Radio, and so it goes down forth. So we all rely on each other, right? And it's like this big daisy chain of all of us kind of holding hands and working together. I mean, do you think any of us radio show hosts would be here if there weren't good, decent, thinking people out there like you, Tim?
Okay, that's the way things are going and don't want to.
We'll be right back, folks.
Be right back. Hyperdimensional host Freighter X talking with Vinny Eastwood from The Vinny Eastwood Show over at TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com, which is also on American Freedom Radio. And we have open phone lines. Anyone who wants to call in and speak with us, last segment of the night, 218-339-8525 to talk with Vinny Eastwood, Mater X, Freighter X, and anyone else that pops up. We are just kind of talking about some things. One of the things that we talked about was Dean Clifford. Anybody, that's my pick for the week. Go check out timeforthetruth.info. Excellent website. Check it out. This system is not ours. They, the bankster, thug, scumbag, power elite, built it for themselves, everyone. The system has a life of its own, and the elites merely capitalize on it. We need to build a system for our benefit. We need to become the breakaway society. That's what I got out of listening to Dean Clifford, you know, and we need to find a way to deal with everyday fascism too, and the claims of debt upon us. One of the biggest ways to deal with them is non-compliance, everyone. Non-compliance. Do not take out loans. Do not engage in mortgages. That is a losing battle. I mean, I don't know how many friends of mine my age and older think that they're winning because they slave away to pay off mortgages for the next 30 years. That's not winning. You're a slave. That's what I heard from Dean Clifford, and I hear it in my own mind. It's the truth.
Yep, and I hear it from Charlie Sheen, too. Winning.
Well, no, he actually has now come out and said he wasn't, in fact, winning all along. Most recently, yes, there's been a recent press release that says that in fact, he was in denial. Type in Charlie Sheen denial. And
that's
you'll see
what you call a depressed release.
Exactly, man. I smell, you know, network scumbaggery going on there. Listen,
speaking
Charlie,
of smell, we were talking about cunning linguists over the break. And
I always heard
you were a master. I don't know where I was going.
I always heard you were a master debater, not a cunning linguist, actually, Vinny. Or you're a master debater,
or a very bristly cunning linguist.
Okay.
Awkward.
Yeah. Oh well. Speaking of George.
Yes.
We were getting... I'm sorry, didn't we have a caller?
You wish. No.
No, it's nobody available out of this one. See, this is why I wish I was CEO of AIG, because I could always allow other people to bail me out when I really frack up.
Yeah, no hope. You're doomed on this one.
But, no, I'm totally doomed. But it's my day off today, you know. It's my Sunday here in New Zealand, you know. The sunny, slave, South Pacific, island-chained nation, fluoridated, irradiated, masturbated. I mean, sorry... Yeah,
I would like to point out right now, for the record, I really respect the sympathy fueled diversion and three card Monty you just pulled right then, man. I think you are a true salesman, my friend. That was amazing. You are a sleight of hand artist.
I truly am. Oh, God.
Oh, this is just awful.
It really is. It really is. I hope everybody else is enjoying it just as much as me, though.
I'm sure everyone else is.
So I doubt that's possible. I was talking about this myself, is that basically because life's so stressful and such a pain in the ass all the time, and because you always mess up and stuff all the time, basically I have to constantly invent ways to amuse myself. You know, when you're in a classroom or something like that and you're in high school and something boring was going on, you had to find ways to amuse yourself. As far as I'm concerned, that's what life really is one constant effort to amuse oneself, to distract oneself from the scumbaggery that oneself lives in.
Vinny, we've already established that you are a master debater.
And a cunning linguist.
Somebody on the chat room wants to know if you remember Pistachio John.
Pistachio John? No, but I did grow a mustachio sketchy. Once, and I named it John.
Nice.
By the way, what do you call an avocado that won't talk to you? Incommunicado.
Can I use that?
What kind of cigarettes do bears smoke? Paul Mall.
Oh my goodness.
It's good. Why do squirrels float down rivers on their backs? To keep their nuts dry.
Yep, folks, we have reached the end of our tether, as you can tell, for the evening. I can't really fully justify anything from here on out, so I'm just going to be along for the ride as well.
Yeah, we've derailed it, okay? This roller coaster has already experienced a kink of the design, and everybody's final destination is already set, okay? There's nothing you can do to stop it now. It's too late.
Oh, here's what we can do. Vinny, anything coming up in the near future? You're going to be appearing on any other shows or anything coming up?
Yeah, well, for instance, in about 10 minutes, my show will be starting on Wolf Spirit Radio, who are running the, what's it called? The United We Win Monthly Radio Marathon, I believe is the terminology. And if you go to wolfspiritradio.com, you should be able to hear an entire hour from me. And then I'll be doing that, and then I'll be getting the frack out of here, because I've got to go to my sister's place to help them eat a large chunk of nice New Zealand roast lamb, which is incredible, which incidentally is more expensive in New Zealand than in Hong Kong, where we export the A-grade stuff and we only allow the C-grade to be sold in New Zealand. Don't you just love export markets?
Yeah. What?
Globalism is constantly serving humanity.
Well, globalism is about interdependence. And do you know what? The great thing about interdependence is it leads you into dependence. That's what it does, man.
I've thought about that so many times.
It means you got nothing. It means you can't sustain yourself. You can't make your own electricity. You can't make your own cars. We used to have car manufacturing plants here. They used to have car manufacturing going on in the United States. We used to be able to actually make stuff Okay, but now all we do is we serve other people, and we've turned ourselves into like this perfect little barista wearing a little apron type coffee culture, and that's basically the only job. You're not actually making anything. Making coffee is not making wealth. Okay,
well, that's part of the design. Growing coffee
is making wealth. Manufacturing something from nothing—that's what creating wealth is really about, and. The whole idea, and I think this is probably what we can really take away from this show, and it's something we've been talking about, is that wealth is something that you can create in any area. You can have wealth in gold, wealth in silver, wealth in family, wealth in the mind. Well, you can be wealthy in any way you wish to, but the only way you can gain any kind of wealth is either through A, hard work, or B, through inheritance.
I mean, there's only two kinds of people in the world, those who have to work or those who don't. You either have to work for a living or you don't. That's really the only classes there are.
Yeah.
Vinny, go ahead.
Your work will never be done. And a lot of people try and deny what destiny is or anything like that. Now, I figure it's always like Forrest Gump said, you know, life's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you want to get. Or life is fatalistic and it's all part of a plan. Well, maybe it's both. And because, you know what, it's really good to know that you have some choice. It's really good to know that if some scumbag tries to get me to do something that I don't want him to do, I can just say, well, you can go flux yourself. Thank you very much. Okay? I have that choice. It doesn't matter what anybody's idea of the future or destiny or 2012 or phase shift or anything that's out of my control happens, because I'm in control of my own actions at the very least. So if anything happens that's outside my control, there's nothing I can do about it. Ergo, I ain't going to worry about it. But there's a hell of a lot of things in my life that I can take responsibility for that I'm currently shirking. And if I stop doing that, I find that when I take responsibility, the amount of power I have over other events that I previously didn't have power over before suddenly come under my control. And that is the ultimate lesson, ladies and gentlemen, is that the whole adage about how with great power comes great responsibility is not true. With taking responsibility, you earn great power.
And that's part of the reason why we no longer produce things, because production, it gives people an identity. Producing things with your own hands gives you a sense of accomplishment, empowerment. And like Vinny pointed out earlier, people who have actualized themselves, they will not be led. They will lead their own way. Well, that's our show for the evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Please pay a visit next week in the Middle Chamber. We have John Michael Greer. And Tuesday night, Occult Science Radio, Freighter X, with the Illuminated One on Fog Talk Radio. This Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, Vinny Eastwood. Check out the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and his show, Leak Days, on American Freedom Radio. Thanks, everyone, and have a great week.